Hello, and welcome to this Canadian Opera Company podcast sponsored by Decca, the opera label. My name is Catherine Simsussin, and today I'm talking with baritone Patrick Carfizzi, who is just completing a run of performances as Giorgio Talbot in our spring production of Donizetti's Maria Stuarda. Patrick made his debut with the company in the 2000 and 2001 season in Rossini's Il Viaggio a Rem, and most lately in Rossini's The Barber of Seville. Welcome, Patrick.
Thank you very much, Catherine. Good to be here.
So reading your bio, I'm struck by the range of role types you play, and it's apparent from seeing you on stage that you are as much an actor as a singer. Can you tell us about how you got your start in music, and what set you on the road to a career in opera?
Sure. I started out wanting to be a jazz pianist. Actually, even before that, I started out wanting to be a pediatrician.
Of all things,
I wanted to be a pediatrician. That comes from a great experience with my pediatrician growing up, and I had an illness as a child, and he helped me through it incredibly, and that inspired me to kind of think, that would be really fun. And then music came along, and I started to practice to study piano. Mm-hmm. And mom and dad encouraged me to do anything I wanted to do. It did not matter to them. I could do whatever. I could be a musician. I could, throw pizzas. I could do anything. They would be very happy, so long as I was happy.
That's great support.
Great support. And so they got me piano lessons, and I practiced. But I didn't practice as much as one would need to, because I had this strange concept in my mind, and all the jazz musicians will laugh at this, that jazz musicians don't practice. They just improvise. So after a while, it started to become clear that maybe jazz piano wasn't going to be the way, and I had always played brass instruments. Trombone, tuba, and mm-hmm. euphonium. And I was thinking, maybe trombone. And so as I started to progress toward trombone, and I remember this very clearly, I had always sung in chorus as well. And both my parents were singers of a sort. Both of them had good voices. Neither of them had been encouraged to sing as kids. So I kind of progressed from trombone in the same year to singing when, as the old story goes, someone gets sick and you're the backup. Mm-hmm. And I was the backup in this little 40-minute musical in my middle school. The young man that I was backup for got sick 2 weeks before the show, and the music teacher said, "Well, can you do it?" I said, "Yeah, sure, fine." And I did it, and mom and dad came to the show and said, "Oh, you can sing." I said, "Singing? Whatever, okay." And that summer, I was fascinated by singing, and I was reading the newspaper, and there was an ad for an audition for The Man of La Mancha, and I went out for that, and the production was very funny. The production called for anyone who was over 30 years old. I happened to be the ripe old age of 14 at the time.
ambitious,
if not precocious. Mom and Dad and I went to the audition. Everyone kind of snickered as I went in. I did the audition and I got the part. And in a local community theater production, that's where I met my first voice teacher. He was the first gentleman who introduced me to opera and who took me to see a performance. Mom and Dad had taken us to see a performance, but he was the first one to take us, my brother and I, to a performance in New York at the Metropolitan.
And so when you were introduced, was it through that performance or was it through other means as well?
It was through that performance. I had started to study. He had given me a few arias. There is a video which shall be hidden forever. Unless you find it, but I happen to have the only copy that I know of. But there's a video from a competition very early on, 16 years old. And I sang "Hai già vinto la causa" from Le Nozze di Figaro. And the entire time I look like I'm serving drinks because I was so nervous that my elbows were glued to the side of my body and my hand was just offering drinks to anyone. It was wild.
That would be a fabulous YouTube clip.
Yes, there's a reason why it's not on YouTube. Ron DeFazi was his name, the teacher, and he encouraged me to study arias and to learn as much classical music as I could in that first few years. And he said, "Okay, we've got to go see an opera. You've got to see it for real." And so I went to New York, and it was quite a fortuitous day, which I would find out years later, for a multitude of reasons. Actually, there are two occurrences. Both were fortuitous in their own way. And I saw Il Tritico, the Metropolitan Opera, in one of the few performances where Teresa Stratus actually did all three of the ladies that season. Other times she either was not feeling well, or she would do one and two, but not the third, and had an incredible experience. I slept through Skiki, which is now one of my favorite operas. I was bored by Tabarro, which is criminal to say, because it's an amazing piece. And I was absolutely enchanted by Suor Angelica, which, oddly enough, of course, there's nothing I can sing in Suor Angelica. And I still get it just gives me goosebumps even to think about the piece. So that was a great introduction to opera. I liked it. I went away from it with three very distinct reactions. Continued to study, and my teacher said, "Well, do you feel like going again?" I said, "Yeah, I would like to go again." Okay. So we went to see The Magic Flute. Little did I know that in this performance of The Magic Flute would be the woman who I would next study voice with at Catholic University, singing as the Queen of the Night. But I went and I saw it, and she was remarkable, Sharon Christman, and her colleagues were equally fantastic, and that was it. I saw Papageno come on stage and I said, "This is what I want to do. I'm 16 years old and this is what I want to do. And it doesn't matter what it takes to do it. It doesn't even matter to me where I do it. I would love to do it at the Metropolitan Opera or wherever they'll have me, but this is what I want. This is what I love." And it just took off from there. As I mentioned, I had an illness as a child that kind of was in this same period. And the only thing that kept me sane was singing. The only thing that kept me moving and kept me thinking and kept me from getting down in the dumps, mm-hmm. was that I could sing.
You can sense that inspiration and just that moment that you had when you were 16 still today. That it's still with you today, so you haven't left that the magical moment when you realized that singing was for you.
I hope I never will. I hope that feeling will always stay there. It's still there. It's still there on stage. I still feel it consciously in certain moments on stage where I go, "Oh, that was good," where you go, "Ah, that's really connected. That's a good thing." And you know, some moments you're a little further away, but yeah. It's true. That's still there. So I was very lucky. I had great influences and great support and great experiences. With Ron, I got to do countless different operas in the chorus, mm-hmm. local productions, and then started to do smaller roles. And it's great because my career kind of mirrored my initial experience, which was very, very fortunate. So it felt very at home. When I went through and I got my degrees at Catholic University, had a fantastic experience there, did four roles with orchestra, which for an undergraduate is not rare, but definitely mm-hmm. not always the case. Had great opportunities there, had great opportunities at Yale, working with Richard and Doris Cross. And then got incredibly lucky to come out of the Yale program and go right to the Met.
That is a very, very remarkable outcome.
Yeah, that still makes me stutter. It's still kind of...
You're blushing.
Yeah, pretty much. pretty much. It's an amazing experience. An amazing experience to sing opera for a living, let alone to sing it there. It was the icing on the cake before the cake was completely filled in.
That's sort of where singers aspire to sing after, you know, and they have to put in their time and sing for many years and some, you know, wait a long time. And I mean, you certainly paid your dues with the training and going in.
Sure.
But to get to the Met to start, that's a remarkable feat.
It's still humbling to this day. And it was great that my parents were there, my father in particular, my mother as well. I mean, both of them are very, very wonderful and very supportive, but my father was a particularly strong influence on me and on my character and on how I've developed as a person and So to have him there for the first 7 years that I was at the Met, it's either 5 or 7 years at the Met, was just fantastic. And, you know, for he and mom to be able to see me really grow up there. I mean, I grew up in college and I grew up in grad school. And then operatically, I started to grow up at the Met with what arguably was one of the best situations one could have, working as a professional artist in an amazing repertory company, being able to learn from all these stupendous international artists around me, and in productions with me, or more appropriately, I in productions with them. That was, my introduction to opera from the get-go, that first 15 years, and still is kind of magical. It is magical. It was magical, and it still is magical. Magical in a little different way, a little maturity, you know, a little more view on the broader perspectives, perhaps. But yeah, I've been incredibly fortunate. And opera's this amazing vehicle. Opera's this amazing art form, this incredible mixing of all the different art forms, which I've come to appreciate more and more as time has gone on.
And one of the things that I've noticed in just getting to know you is how humbled you are, and you speak so highly about having a great support system. You mentioned the word support, you mentioned the word mentor, you mentioned the word having family, friends, professionals that are your colleagues now, and teachers to help you along this way. And in speaking with a lot of artists, that is very unique to hear from you, in the sense that you constantly reflect on that and how you have had such a great group of people to work with and to learn from. And so how have these mentors sort of shaped who you are right now, and sort of how you take your role as an opera singer?
Without the support structure, it's really hard to have this career. Without that support structure, it's not as fulfilling, because you don't have the people to go back to and say, hey, I need perspective on this situation, or, you know what, I need your ideas, I need your ears, you know, I need your ears in more ways than one, and with the support as well. What it's shown me over the years is that it's key to a singing career to be able to access those that have come before and those that will come after. And it's key to for a singer and for an artist in general to recognize their place in the community, and that their place in the community is a matter of giving and receiving. And I have received so much nurturing, and continue to receive so much nurturing, so much guidance, so much help. Wonderful, you know, on the professional level, so many wonderful artists, a wonderful artist manager for the first decade of my career, and now on to another wonderful artist manager. The teachers that I worked with in undergraduate and graduate are still advisors to me, are still, as well as being teachers, they're still advisors to me. Other colleagues that I've met, I can pick up the phone and I can call and I can say, you know, can bounce things off of. So what it's taught me is that it's made me reflective on the fact that I have all these great gifts. I want to give this back. I want to find a way to, or I should say, perhaps more appropriately, I found a way, I hope, to give this back and to give the opportunity to other young artists that I have had, the opportunity to really understand the career fully, understand the business fully, and not be terrified of it, but be able to fully engage with it. And realize that there are going to be ups and downs, and things are going to work well sometimes and not go so well other times, and that some days your voice is your best friend, and some days your voice is fickle and is a pain in the neck. And to know that, you know, the world expects a lot of you. You expect a lot of yourself, but what is the expectation that you are communicating to the world? What is the expectation of yourself that you are putting out there? It's taught me an awful lot. It's taught me an awful, awful lot. But one of the biggest things it's taught me is that we have to give back. We have to give back, and we have to give back sooner rather than later. From that comes Artsleaf.
And so let's talk about Artsleaf. This is a very exciting project that we've been discussing over the past few weeks. Mm-hmm. But maybe you could tell our listeners about it and how it came to be, mm-hmm. what the program entails, and just give us a description of what you hope to be doing and how you're giving back.
Artsleaf, I hope, is the way that I and my team, my co-founders and team at Artsleaf, can give back. What it is, it's a virtual mentoring program for the arts. So we have a system that we are continuing to build, and we are going to be testing this summer to do one-on-one mentoring, both for educational purposes and for professional development. Our programs begin, our programs are structured in a life cycle. This way, we can take a student from classroom to one-on-one. If they decide to become involved further in the arts and are curious about being an artist, they can then they can have some guidance and professional development from Artsleaf, and then we can follow them through, and hopefully they themselves will one day become a mentor. So that's the basic structure of our life cycle and of our program development. Artsleaf came out of, just for a bit of history, Artsleaf came out of about, 3 years of discussions between myself and about five other people. And we just saw a need. We saw a real need in the field for both artists to help help along the next generation of artists and art appreciators, but also we saw that there was a symbiotic relationship between the artists that were helping and the mentors and the mentees, because the artists' minds were opened up further and new perspective, and it was enriching and nurturing for both, as a good mentoring relationship is. Mm-hmm. We started to talk now 4 years ago, and we came up with a number of different programs. We had ideas. We had ideas which we presented to a company at one point, and they said, "That's fantastic. This is an interesting thing. Keep working on it." And they've been incredibly supportive over the years, and they've been very helpful to just help us on our way and help kind of push us in a direction, but not through any other means other than come back to us with ideas and we'll help nudge you, we'll help direct you, we'll help guide you. My mentors that I've found along the way, managers and teachers, also have been part of the process. Because, I'll go into a voice lesson and say, "All right, so I had this idea about Artsleaf." And my teacher first went, "Are you nuts?" And then another mentor and friend said to me, "Well, that's great, but do you realize how much time this is going to take?" And I said, yeah, no. I realize how much time this is going to take, but this is... I found this on the beach on a vacation about a year ago now. It's part of the, in quotes, mission of an artist to both communicate art, to transport, hopefully, that art and the audience together, but also to contribute so that the next generation of people that want to be part of the arts can have an understanding. And that contribution can come in so many different ways. Well, this is the way I want to contribute. This is how I want to help. Artsleaf will start doing one-on-one mentoring this summer. We have four couples that will start working with each other. Two will be educationally based. Two will be professional development. We'll have the ability, because of technology, we'll have the ability to connect those people from anywhere in the world. This answers another challenge that we mm-hmm. saw as artists. We all wanted, all of us that got together to put Artsleaf on the map, said, "Well, we've tried to be in Big Brothers and Big Sisters. We tried to be in other mentoring organizations, but the organizations are fixed, in locale, and it's a completely different format, and it works wonderfully, and the impact that they have is fantastic. But we'd like to be part of this. And since traveling is so much a part of what we do, and staying connected is so much a part of what we do, why can't we use the technology that we access every single day, Skype? Why can't we use Skype to go ahead and help that next generation? And we're doing, you know, we are still doing research into best practices because we want to make sure that there's enough in-person connection. So there will be in-person events with ArtsLeaf. We want to make sure that there's enough in-person connection so that the mentors and mentees feel that personal, that thing often found in a face-to-face meeting. But we also know through our experience that the meetings that you have, the video conferencing you have on Skype, gives you access to the body language, gives you access to seeing someone face-to-face and getting to have a conversation with them that goes simply beyond other means of communication. So we're looking to answer a lot of different needs, a lot of different needs. One need is in the arts community and the broader community at large to have an understanding of what the face of the arts really is. And the face of the arts are the artists, but for us at ArtsLeaf, the artists are not simply just the performers. The artists are the education directors and the development directors and the stage directors and the stage managers and the costumers. It's, in a way, it's great coming from opera, and many of us do come from opera, because opera is kind of this fantastic ecosystem of artists. And we hope that we can encourage that ecosystem to reach out. And to reach out to the community and reach out to young people. This way, you don't know. You don't know that there might be a young person somewhere who says, I really love to do things with clothing, and I really love to do, you know, I love to sit at home and just kind of sketch, and I look at this beautiful dress that this woman has on, and I want to make something like that. And wow, it's so hard to be a fashion designer, and maybe I can't. Well, maybe you can be a fashion designer. Maybe you can be a fashion designer in a theater. Maybe you can design, you know, for an opera or for a play or for dance.
Because there really isn't a lot of specific training programs that are geared towards this. Take these courses and a clear path. Take these courses, and therefore you will get a job in opera. So if you like doing this, you take these courses, you will be in this theater. There's so many different paths that people come from, as you yourself mentioned. Mm-hmm. Wanting to be a pediatrician, but you seem to have married that very nicely with your desire for music and using ArtsLeaf to work with people, young people, older people, adults as well, to be able to convey this passion for art and to help people along the way to find that path to get into the art form. And I know that there's a website, because I've looked at it many a time. But so if you could maybe give our readers the website address, so if they want to check out a little bit further, they could do so and take a look to see exactly what it is that you're working on.
Yeah, that'd be great. The website is www.artsleaf.org, ArtsLeaf.org. And yeah, you can come to the site, see what we're working on. You can sign up through the site to be a mentor, mentee, or to be a partner, which is another category that we're developing. And not to say that one can develop partnerships in a short form, but more that you can connect with us, and we can know that you're interested in working with us and in helping us to advance our mission, which is to take arts to the broader community, to take the face of the arts to the broader community and to the artists of tomorrow, and to help the artists of tomorrow and the artists of today and the artists of the past to all work in concert with each other to enrich both the broader community and the arts community simultaneously.
A little bit of outreach, a little bit of inreach.
Exactly. Which is really, I think, very valuable. And I think something that will be beneficial to all of us in the long run. There are lots of young people who might not feel like they can have a career in the arts, but they can, and they should. And they should be given the opportunity. And as you said, there aren't a lot of structured programs. There aren't programs to train how to be an artist manager. But there are arts administration programs, yes. But, you know, there aren't an awful lot. And maybe you're a person that loves working with artists and you love the business side of the arts. Fantastic. Come and see us. Come and talk to us. Maybe we can match you up with someone who can help give you some ideas, give you some guidance. And that relationship can turn into a long-term mentoring relationship. It can be 3 months. It can be years. We hope that you can avail yourself of the different opportunities that we offer.
And do you intend to have the participants who potentially start up with the mentorship program in a classroom? And the way you've described it to me personally is that you would be working with a group of people, so a typical classroom that mm-hmm. you'd see in an everyday school, mm-hmm. And set up a mentorship program with them. And then if it works out, the individuals can then continue mm-hmm. after this on more of a one-on-one basis. Mm-hmm. And then if they should continue to use opera or the arts as a professional career, that you would provide them professional guidance along the way.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. That's exactly how we see the learning continuum going. It's a natural, to us, it's a natural continuum that exposure in what we call artist to classroom or in-classroom mentoring experiences, that exposure to the arts and to the artist via video. This way you see the face. Mm-hmm. You see the face, you hear the voice. Maybe you've had the opportunity of seeing a performance or production. Maybe through a partnership with an opera company, you've already had the chance to see this artist in action. We'll now get to know the artist further. If something connects with that child can take on the one-on-one mentoring. If that youth decides that they want to study and they want to go further, then yeah, when you get into college, we can help you with professional development. We can give you some guidance and give you some ideas of what the path ahead is going to be like. And there are a lot of conversations to be had mm-hmm. about that path ahead. As many, many young singers have always pointed out, many young artists have pointed out, how do I do this? How do I balance a checkbook? How do I run my own business? Oh, wait, I am self-employed. Well, yes, you are. Mm-hmm. But there are others of us who have already been self-employed, and we can give you an idea of how it works and how we've succeeded, the mistakes we've made, the challenges we've encountered. So that's our timeline. That's where we're going.
What's your dream goal for ArtsLeaf?
My dream goal for ArtsLeaf is that ArtsLeaf can be at least disseminated throughout all of North America, and that we can have hubs in most, if not all, major cities, including some smaller cities throughout North America, where we can have a network of mentors and mentees that will just simply start to plug in to each other. So I guess our dream goal is a level of self-sufficiency and interaction and communication within the arts, because we feel like one relationship can lead to many. We feel like one great mentor-mentee connection can help to develop many wonderful relationships. So my dream is that we are throughout the continent. My dream also is that we can one day bring multiple artists into the classroom at one time. That dream may soon be a reality. Technology is definitely heading in that direction. One other dream that I do have is that this network will be a resource. And that's really the goal of ArtsLeaf. ArtsLeaf is the major goal, the major dream, is that ArtsLeaf will become a resource network, a resource organization for individuals and organizations alike, so that they can help their individual components to have guidance, to have a place to turn to when they're going through trying to make decisions, trying to learn more about a shift in a career path, or, okay, here I am, I'm in this position. I've been here for 10 years. Now what happens? Well, there's someone else in the world who has been in that position and has done the same thing. Yeah, the dream is that we'll all connect, and that it will be we will be able to access not just opera, but all of the other disciplines. It's something very key to ArtsLeaf. It's all arts. It's not just opera. Opera's fantastic. Again, it's a great starting point because it does represent so many different art forms within it. But if we can reach out into as many communities and as many disciplines as possible, then we'll feel like we've succeeded on some level.
Well, you're well on your way, and I completely commend you for doing it, because
Thanks.
I know that the life of an opera singer is not the easiest. It's a lot of travel, a lot of time changes, very physically, mentally demanding, and to take this on is very remarkable, and I commend you on it, and I can't wait to hear more about it. Maybe we'll have you back
Thanks.
Very soon, and we could talk about ArtsLeaf and how it's developed over the next few months, the next few years, and hopefully that there'll be a connection with the Canadian Opera Company.
That would be fantastic.
In future programs, so that we can extend that mentorship and those relationships on the north side of the border.
That would be absolutely wonderful. Just one comment about the balance of the career and ArtsLeaf. It feels like a perfect fit. It feels like the perfect thing to be doing on the days off. There's lots of studying, there's lots of work, there's lots of maintenance that goes into an opera career. Make no mistake.
You make it look so easy.
Thanks. But the balance is so very important. The balance is so, so very important. And, I think I sacrifice a little bit. I give up a few episodes of Lost. and I give up a fair bit of recreational reading. I'll say that. But it feels like the right thing to do. And I hope we can. I hope we can find an opportunity to partner with COC and with so many other cultural organizations in Canada, in the U.S., hopefully in Mexico. We have no contact in Mexico at this point. We have contacts only in Canada and the U.S. And a bit in the U.K. But we're gonna wait a while before we go overseas.
So Patrick, thank you so much for talking with me today. And to learn more about opera in general and much more about the COC and all it offers, please visit our website at coc.ca. And join us again for this continuing series of podcasts sponsored by DECA, the opera label.